are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.
The first Arab country that I entered in a meaningful way, the portals through which I entered the Arab world, which I've been a part of really almost all of my life, was Lebanon. So what happens in Lebanon is of very great concern to me. And there's usually a good reason to be concerned. But this week, given the first time I went there was in 1977, in a lull, an interlude in what seemed to be a forever civil war in Lebanon, it looked hauntingly familiar. The same black-clad snipers on the roof, shooting down on unarmed demonstrators, the same response from the people whose organizations had organized the march, in this case Hezbollah and Amal, two big political organizations that represent the biggest section of the Lebanese population, the Shiite Muslim population, and the army coming in, and then video arriving today of the army themselves shooting civilians, highly selectively. It brought it all back to me. I wondered if we were headed back into the pit in Lebanon. And of course, that's important not just for me, who loves Lebanon, but it's important for the whole of the Middle East and therefore the whole of the world. Dr. Jamal Waqim is a celebrated author, a distinguished Lebanese academic, a university professor, and he joins us now. Dr. Jamal, thank you for joining us. Bring us, please, first up to speed. What happened?
Well, it's an honor and pleasure always to be on your show. And actually, I'll try to be as much objective as possible. What happened was an ambush prepared by the Lebanese forces for unarmed demonstrators who were protesting against a judge for mishandling, or that's from their perspective, for mishandling the investigations and the explosion of the port of Beirut. And these snipers were already positioned beforehand on the rooftops of neighboring buildings, and the demonstrators were ambushed in the middle of a scene. Actually, we need to know that the area where these people were ambushed is near the Justice Palace, which is very close to the headquarters of the General Security on one hand, and to the military hospital on the other hand. So this means that it's an ideal, let's say, or fully fledged security zone. So this poses a question mark on the role of the security agencies who should have taken precautions with this regard, noting that one evening before the incident, the Lebanese forces commander, Samir Jaja, known for his long-standing history in the civil war and committing massacres and assassinations, has called his supporters to be on alert. So this is what happened, and this led the several people were killed by snipers, because all shots came in the head or in the upper level of the body. And even there was a delivery guy who was just passing by, and he wasn't part of the demonstration. Another woman was shot inside her home by a sniper. So there were orders to kill, and I believe that these orders were covered not only by certain Lebanese parties, but they were also given the green light by the American administration, because the vice secretary of state was on a visit to Lebanon, and this came like a few days after what happened in Iraq, the forged elections that produced the results that most people are protesting against now, which are in favor of the United States allies. So the United States is trying to force a similar result in Lebanon by instigating its allies in this country to instigate troubles, to corner Hezbollah and his allies to, let's say, direct a sort of total war, total confrontation on the security level, the way we saw, on to drag him into a local civil war, on the judicial level with this investigation, noting that we have precedents with bad judiciary in the past two decades, especially with the issue of investigating the assassination of Rafiq Hariri, and of course all sorts of manipulations by the United States. So the United States are trying to drive a similar scenario in Lebanon by cornering its allies. So that's why, and we should note also the American declarations, which were hasty in laying full blame on Hezbollah and calling for on the security, let's say, agencies to take action against Hezbollah.
There's a number of questions arise from this, Dr. Jamal. Just for the avoidance of doubt, for those who are not familiar, Lebanese forces does not mean the official armed forces of the state. Lebanese forces, capital L, capital F, is the collection of far-right, phalangist, fascist organizations that, for example, carried out the massacre door-to-door in Sabra and Shatila in 1982. Jaja, that you referred to, spent a very long time in prison for his role in massacres. So we're not directly accusing the state when we say Lebanese forces, but it's hard to believe that a power as frankly weak as the Lebanese forces, Hezbollah could destroy the Lebanese forces in an afternoon, would dare to carry out such an act without the backing of people more powerful than them.
Definitely. Actually, the Lebanese forces, they are the equivalent of the fascists or even Nazis in Europe. So they are our version of fascism, too bad. And they were implicated in a lot of massacres, not only that of Sabra and Shatila, but we go back to the early days. They were part of the Falange party, so they were responsible of massacres in Karantina, Nab'a, Tal Zatar, Jisr al-Basha, and their violence was directed not only against Muslims and people from other confessions, but it was also directed against Christians in their region, including the assassination of whole families, for example. The family of Sleiman Frangieh, the lord of Zgharta, his father, mother, and a young sister, 3 years old, she was a kid, they were assassinated alongside 30 of their supporters. The same happened with Danny Shamhoun and his kids, young kids. Actually, Samir Jaja tried a similar thing with our family, but we were lucky when my father shot down the would-be assassin. Otherwise, the whole family would have been wiped out. That was in 1987. Also, he targeted a lot of people, assassinating, massacring, and a lot of the, let's say, the missing during the civil war. he was responsible of, alongside other warlords of during the Civil War. So this is the record of this man. Of course, the Lebanese forces are no match to Hezbollah in terms of balance of power. That's why such an act would have never been possible, or he would have never been able to take this decision and even challenge the President of Republic in the open and attack other people, had it not been for the American backing, for, first and foremost. And why the Americans need this? I believe that they need this now because once they are done with Iraq, they think that they have established their full-fledged control and hegemony there. They want to do the same in Lebanon, to put the whole country under their hegemony and use Lebanon as a mean to destabilize Syria, especially that Syria was able to recover to a large extent from the war that was directed against it. Also, they want to use Iraq as a mean to destabilize Iran, by the way, and implicate Iran in a deadly civil war. So this is why we see a similarity between the situation in both countries, in Iraq and in Lebanon now.
There's so much pie in the sky if that is the American plan. First, they will never be finished with Iraq, a country I know, if anything, even better than I know Lebanon. But neither will they be able to establish their hegemony in Lebanon. So what's the likely end game? You and I both know that if Hezbollah wanted to take complete, absolute control of Lebanon, they could do so very quickly indeed. Luckily for everybody, they don't want to take full, absolute control of Lebanon. They have no wish to, no intention to. So if the provocation is to force them to take full power in Lebanon, what would happen next?
Well, I believe that the plan is even more, let's say, dirty from their part. Well, Hezbollah in a civil war, in a local war in Lebanon, I believe that, of course, he will have the upper hand. However, the United States will use such a war, internal war, to drag some local parties to ask for international help. And this will engender direct American intervention, the way they did, by the way, back in 1983, for example.
Even in the 1950s. But neither of those ended very well.
And of course, they wouldn't care much about their allies, by the way, because back in 1975, they were the ones to encourage the right-wing Falange party to start the war, and they promised them help. However, when it came to real action, these people were left on their own, and they had to seek support from Syria back then. So now they are using the same thing. They wouldn't care if the whole country gets destroyed, because in their geopolitical agenda there is no place for Lebanon, because there would be no place for an alternative port or a port that would compete Haifa port. The financial center should shift to Haifa, by the way, and that's why the whole country should be destroyed. This puts some question marks about the reason why the port was destroyed a year ago. I believe that it was a perpetrated action in order to wipe out the most prosperous port on the East Mediterranean so that Haifa port will take over. So the Americans don't care if Hezbollah or any other party wins the war. Of course, they would use an internal war in order to intervene and take hold of the Christian area stretching from the river of Beirut in northern Beirut all the way to Madfoun region or Batroun. this is the area that the Americans want to control, because this area, which is the heart of Lebanon, could give them access, or let's say it would serve as a foothold for the Americans to be monitoring the Russians in Hmeymim and on the Syrian coast on one hand, and it will be possible for them to split Lebanon or separate the northern Bekaa from the south, hence separating Hezbollah from its power base in northern Lebanon. So this is the American plan. Of course, they would also use this region to be close to Damascus, which is the stronghold or the main pillar of the Syrian regime. Had the Americans and their allies been able to encircle Damascus back in 2011, they would have been able to win the war. However, it was Damascus, or securing Damascus access to the coast, was the main factor that led to the regime's survival in Syria. So the Americans know that. I believe that this is the real American plan, to drag the country into a bloodshed and then use this bloodshed as a mean to intervene, not in the whole country, but in this specific area, which is the Christian area, take hold of it and impose a pseudo-federal situation while leaving the rest of the country drowning into chaos.
Well, I'm not sure what the American public will hear from them in the course of this show. We'll think of putting more boots on the ground in another Arab country. I suspect that wouldn't be a cause of great rejoicing. But briefly, Doctor, what happens in the immediate future now? What does this coming week hold for Lebanon?
I believe that Hezbollah and his allies were very wise to exert pressure and impose self-restraint. That's very important. And at the same time, the President of the Republic took some firm action. He should have been firmer in the sense. He should have been more firm with regards to the security agencies, which were partially implicated with what happened. And he should have been more firm with regards to capturing Samir Jaja and putting him back to jail, the place he belongs to, by the way.
And the president is, of course, a Christian, and always a Christian, must be a Christian. The problem defenders of the Christians is that this particular Christian president is an ally of the other forces that the Americans wish to destroy. Am I right?
Yes, that's true. And we should admit the fact that for the past 2 or 3 years, the Americans have been targeting, and their allies, of course, they have been targeting the party of the president, which is the Free Patriotic Movement. Well, I believe that they committed a lot of mistakes. Had it not been for these mistakes, the situation would have been much better. However, we should acknowledge the fact that the Americans are trying to, they cannot affect Hezbollah and his power base, and that's why they are focusing more on stripping Hezbollah from his Christian ally, which is the President of the Republic, and the Free Patriotic Movement. This movement, well, as I said, they committed a lot of mistakes, which led to an erosion of their power base to a certain extent, and at the same time they lack discipline. However, they still play a role in checking the rise to to full hegemony, which Samir Jaja aims for in the Christian region.
Dr. Jamal Waqeem, thank you for joining us. The podcast had another incredible week with a rise of 14% in total downloads. That's on top of last week's 10% increase, making us not only one of the fastest growing political programs on screens and on radio, but now in podcasts too. We're now one of the top political podcasts, not just in the UK, but also in Switzerland, Japan, Germany, Thailand, Taiwan, and believe it or not, the UAE. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts, and remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And why not leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? If you're a Spotify user, please follow us and share with your friends so more people can enjoy most.